As if from deep inside a well, a familiar voice called their standard code phrase, "I love you." Luke blinked his eyes open, fighting the equally standard surge of disorientation. It was dark in the operating room, with only a dim perm light glowing off to one side, but he had no trouble recognizing the face leaning over him. "Hi, Mara. How's it going?" "Better than I would have thought when you went under," she told him. "First things first. How do you feel?"
"Mostly healed, I think.
Muscles and skin seem fine. Your turn." The Vagari didn't bother to kill any of the Chiss when they left the Chaff Envoy, except the squad we'd left in the Dreadnought docking bay, Mara said. "That ambush is apparently what we felt while we were poking around D1. They did dump a whole bunch of line creepers, though, which have pretty well incapacitated everything over there." She made a face, including the saber, of course.
"Of course," Luke agreed.
"So we're basically stuck here?"
"Not as stuck as Bearish was hoping," Mara said. "Jinsler taught us a little trick to draw the line creepers out of the conduits and kill them. Even more interesting is that outbound flight had a small starship tucked away, a Delta 12 Sky Sprite."
"Never heard of it," Luke said. "Is it functional?"
"They're running the final diagnostics on it now," Mara said. "The big question right now is whether you feel up to a little trip."
"You mean to try to whistle up an alert on the Vagari before they get out of Chiss space?"
"Preferably before they even get out of the readout," Mara said. "Don't forget, they've got a whole bunch of disguised fighters waiting for them at that command station."
"Right. Luke had forgotten that, actually. You figure they'll try to destroy the station on their way out?"
"I would, if I were trying to sneak out with a stolen warship," Mara said. "But right now, they've only got a 6-hour head start on us.
They're also flying a dreadnought, which weren't exactly known for their speed, even under the best of circumstances. And we know the course they're on. If we can get out of here in the next hour or two, there's a good chance we can beat them to the station."
"How about recognition signals?" Luke asked.
"I presume that the Chiss on Brask Otto aren't just going to take our word for any of this."
"Hardly," Mara agreed.
"Formby's already given me a recorded message to transmit to them, with Drask and Captain Talshiv co-signing on it. Drask's also given me his private emergency prefix signal, or rather, the one that'll be current on the day we reach Brask Otto. 2-1-2.
"Sounds reasonable," Luke grunted.
"Do we have time to eat before we take off?"
"They've packed us a lunch," Mara said. "We need to get going as soon as Jinsler gives the okay."
"Then that time is here," Jinsler said, stepping through the doorway. "The Sky Sprite checks out just..."
Jinsler broke off.
"What is it?" Luke asked, frowning at the sudden surge of emotion in Jinsler's face and sense.
"That lightsaber,"
Jinsler said, his voice suddenly stiff. "May I see it?"
"Sure," Luke said, pulling the relic from his belt. "We found it down on D1, in what was left of the bridge."
"It was Lorana's," Jinsler said.
"I'm sorry," Luke said.
"Would you like to have it?"
Jinsler took a deep breath.
"Yes, I would," he said, handing it back to Luke. "But not now. You might need it. And I rather like the idea of Lorana's lightsaber being used against those who helped destroy her. You can bring it back to me when this is all over."
"I will," Luke promised, taking the weapon back with a new reverence.